Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020. Producing from his home studio in Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. Today, we're going to be talking with ESPN's Jesse Rogers, who did an interview yesterday. It's getting a lot of attention with Tom Ricketts. Tom Ricketts, the owner of the Chicago Cubs, who pushed back on the thought that baseball teams are cash cows. The quote to Jesse, here's something I hope baseball fans understand. Most owners don't take money out of their team. They raise all the revenue they can from tickets and media rights, and they take out their expenses, and they give all the money left to their general manager to spend. He wasn't the only one on management side who spoke yesterday. Kent Kendrick, managing general partner of the Arizona Diamondbacks, also talked out loud, and we'll be hearing from that. I've got strong feelings on what both of them said. A Japanese preseason game was canceled after two players tested positive for the virus. The Yomiuri Giants had two players from their team test positive for COVID-19, prompting the Giants to call off their preseason game Wednesday with the Cebu Lions. This, of course, is something that Major League Baseball is going to have to deal with if, in fact, they can come to an agreement and get started. And yesterday, we got no outward signs that Major League Baseball and the Players Association are making progress. Now, before we get to Jesse, the Jalen and Jacoby After Show podcast continues this Sunday following 30 for 30's Be Water, a documentary about Bruce Lee. In 1971, after being rejected by Hollywood, Bruce Lee returned to his parents' homeland of Hong Kong to complete four iconic films. Charting his struggles between two worlds, his portrait explores questions of identity and representation through the use of rare archival interviews with loved ones and Bruce's own writings. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Jesse Rogers covers baseball for ESPN. And Jesse, at the top of the show, we detailed some of your conversation with Tom Ricketts. What else did you learn?
Well, I actually believe him when he says they don't have a lot of cash on hand. I believe him when he says that, at least about the Chicago Cubs. The one thing he can push back on Scott Boras in that leaked email from a week ago is, look, I renovated Wrigley Field, not just my skybox. It's a great experience for the whole place, and I have a top five payroll. Now, that's a good argument for Tom Ricketts to make right now. A decade ago when he was rebuilding and he didn't have a top payroll, different story. So he has a leg to stand on, and so I think that's part of the reason why he went public, to push back on Scott Boras' claims. Like, look, you can say whatever you want, but I'm putting it back into my team. Now, we have seen many other businesses have a cash problem. The airline business, right? And some of them have asked for bailouts, and some get it, and some don't. Of course, baseball would never get it. So it's that disconnect, Buster, between franchise value and cash on hand. And I think at the end of the day, the players, whether they believe the owners or not, don't care. Look, you may not have cash. That's your problem. You didn't save for a rainy day. That's your problem. So I believe him when he says he doesn't have it, but I'm not sure that means the players should bail the owners out. They've got to figure out a way to pay for their costs and pay the salaries. And you do that by loans and selling equity and all different ways, but you don't do it by asking us to take a cut, meaning the players.
I ask people on management side all the time, as we talk about the cash flow issue and teams that might be more stressed at the moment than others, and you hear some of the teams that you would absolutely expect. For example, the Miami Marlins, you know, who rely on revenue sharing. There isn't going to be any revenue sharing this year. Like, they're in a difficult spot. Folks with other teams are wondering about the Cleveland Indians small market team, and the Cubs are always brought up as, the perception in the sport that they are especially in trouble. How acute was your sense of what their situation is, given all the improvements around the ballpark, investments around the ballpark that they've made in recent years?
No, it's very acute. And part of it is the fact they have no local TV money necessarily. I mean, they're just starting their own network, right? They don't have a deal with the largest cable provider, Comcast. They haven't played a game yet on that network. They're not going to realize those revenues probably for a year or two. There's a little lapse time on that. So think about the Yankees and the Dodgers and other big market teams, how much money they're making off of local TV. Cubs are just starting up that revenue train. So everything, 70%, they say. And look, the Atlanta Braves are at 63%, and that's public that's public. We know that. I'm talking about game day revenue. The Cubs say they're at 70%. So that's not too far off of another team that we know we can look at the books at, and that is the Braves because they're publicly traded, Liberty Media. So, yeah, it's acute for that reason. They don't have that local money. They just finished a major renovation. And, yeah, look, you bought the park. You renovated the park. You bought the bars around it. So it's on you to figure it out. That's the argument against. But definitely it's acute. There's no doubt about it.
What's your sense? And it's funny when owners come out and they talk about their cash flow problem. I know, and you know, there are a lot of fans rolling their eyes and say, yeah, whatever. How is it going to affect the team going forward? I don't know if you got a sense of that, because they obviously have these enormous decisions looming. Chris Bryant, potentially a free agent after 2021. Javier Baez, Anthony Rizzo with an option for next year. They have to fill in the gaps on their starting pitching. What's your sense of what the current situation, how that's going to affect the decisions they're going to be making?
And don't forget Theo Epstein's contract's up
right in
a couple of years as well. Coincides with all of those guys, and he's making, you know, a good bucket also. It's going to affect it. I mean, he is taking a bath this year, and that's the point he was trying to make to me. Look, the choices are we lose biblical money, as he mentioned in my article, and that's the phrase everybody in Chicago is jumping on, that word, biblical. It's such an aggressive word, right? They lose biblical money, or they lose just a lot of money, right? He says it's going to be $150 million, give or take a little bit. It's going to affect the future. You mentioned Javi Baez. Wow, I was at spring training with Baez the day that they announced the game that he was on the cover of. Okay.
Right.
I went to the opening. I played the game against him, and they were days away from potentially signing a deal. They were days away from signing a long-term deal. Now they had to drop the negotiations and pick it up again on the other side of this. What's that going to look like? So it is not out of the realm of possibility. There's a rebuild, another rebuild in the future for the Chicago Cubs. But like as you know, Buster, it's not that easy to dump. It's not going to be that easy to dump contracts right now. I mean, who's going to take on these contracts? These other teams are hurting. Now, a few teams will be okay, but it's not like they're just going to have buyers all over the place. So it's going to be interesting how this all plays out. One more thing. In talking to Tom and other people around the league, executives, they are really worried about 2021. And some people are pushing – I'm talking about revenues and how the game's going to be. Some people are pushing to negotiate a deal, a two-year deal, this year, next year, leading into the new CBA. Let's combine this thing. But the majority of people involved in this are like, we can't figure out 2020. How are we going to figure out this year and next year? So there's really an 18-month problem here for baseball looming.
Now, Tom Ricketts wasn't the only one on management side who spoke out loud. Diamondbacks managing general partner Kent Kendrick was on Burns and Gamo 98.7 FM. This is some of what he said.
Everybody involved in the game, and I can't speak for the players, but I know enough of many, know enough players and know how they feel. They really want to play. And I know I can certainly say sincerely I want us to. And I think we owe it to the community. And, you know, we could be – and we have the opportunity to be a unifying force in a very difficult time. And where we are at the moment, we're a divisive force in a very difficult time. And I think that's extremely unfortunate. And I hope reality sets into all concerned and we recognize we need to do whatever we need to do to put the game on the field for our fans to enjoy.
He talked about the 114-game proposal that the players put forward the other day.
Rated salaries. What was your reaction to that?
Well, in a word, it's a non-starter. There is no way that there is even any. There's not enough there to even get into a discussion about in terms of detail. I mean, I give you two or three examples. The 114 games, if you look at it, would take baseball literally into the month of December, and we all need to not forget that part of what has been in the air and much discussion from the player side as well as the owner side about the health crisis that we're facing. And we all are fearful I hope it won't happen. We're all fearful that the virus could return at a very aggressive level later this year. So we do not want to take the risk of putting our players at jeopardy and our game in peril to be playing games beyond the end of October. So our model is and will never be changed, that we will not be playing baseball in the month of November or later.
Yeah, and so, Jesse, I got to say that when I heard those interviews, there definitely are elements of truth to what they're talking about, but my reaction was the same as when I heard Blake Snell, that while, yes, there are elements of truth in it, nobody wants to hear it. And you know, and I know that they wouldn't have been speaking out loud about this unless there was some agreement with the commissioner, with Major League Baseball as a whole, where they are allowed to talk out loud about it. I don't think anybody wants to hear it. And I just kind of cringe. And it's you know, for Ken Kendrick to talk, Tom Ricketts to talk. Look, they're dressed up better than Blake Snell was when he was playing video game. He was on Twitch. But I think the sentiment from fans is going to be the same. What's your take?
Oh, I agree. I mean, there's not much an owner can say that's going to satisfy the average fan, and it's probably the same side on the players. I mean, you know, the way it's described, someone said it to me the other day. I mean, owning a team is all about the scarcity, meaning it's a unique thing to own a sports team. There's not that many out there. And the value comes when you sell it. I mean, but nobody wants to hear that. What are you talking about? You can't get value out of a $3 billion franchise like the Chicago Cubs? Of course you can. But the owners feel like that the true value comes in selling it. And that and until that day comes, they're going to work on much smaller margins. But these are things that players and fans don't want to hear, just like the fans don't want to hear that a player can only live on $7 million instead of 35, right? So you're exactly right. But in lieu of good negotiations here, that they're trying to get their word out a little publicly, you know, I almost view the players know about the return of the virus stuff, right? They have their own medical people. I almost view that 114 game proposal as an extreme on their end to counteroffer the owner's extreme proposal of a sliding scale. Like, okay, you want to see something unreasonable, here's something unreasonable, 114 games. It's just that they're on different planes right now. And I think they're trying to win the court of a public appeal here. You know, they're trying to public opinion here, but it's a losing cause for both sides. No doubt about it. They need to get behind closed doors. I mean, I'm happy to get the interview with Tom Ricketts.
Yeah.
I think
great job.
I think it's important for him to at least get people to understand that not every business has hundreds of millions in the bank. Like, I believe him when he says that, but that is your fault. You know, that is your fault for not having money for a rainy day. So you need to figure a way out of it. So it's like that whole thing. You can believe them, but still disagree with their business model.
Last one for you. As this has gone on, you know, I felt like, boy, they really need to come back and play this year. For the good of the game, they need to come back and play. And I think there's some truth to that, but I've kind of amended that feeling now, given the direction, given the divisiveness that's gone on in these negotiations. I feel like the more important thing is that they come together to have an agreement. If the players, you know, through that March 26th negotiated language, if Rob Manfred basically rams a deal down the player's throat because the two sides can't come to an agreement, and the players, you know, basically come across the line, and or some of them, and as we've talked about on the podcast in recent days, some players probably opting out of playing, and that's apparent that that's what took place, and the larger labor issues are simply deferred to next year when we have another round of this. I don't think it's really going to help that much. I think it's going to be really destructive for baseball. Tell me if I'm out of line, if you disagree with me. Any thoughts?
My thought is this. I've never believed in a salary cap / revenue sharing system than I do now. Baseball is in dire straits. The NBA, NHL, and NFL don't have this sort of lack of partnership problem. I know the union's proud not to have a salary cap, but at this point, between what's going on now, the future revenues of this sport in at least the short term, and the systematic strategy of tanking. A salary cap with a salary floor, that's key, may not be the worst thing for this sport. They might need to finally make a true partnership. A salary floor is important. I got to stress that, because that will avoid the constant, you know, tanking. They have to at least have a few guys making some money. I've never believed in it more. So that's my answer to you. I've always been pro player. I'm on their side. And Gerrit Cole will never make what he would never sign for what he signed for in a salary cap system. But we know there's some benefits on the bottom end if there was a salary floor. So that's my response. They need to have a partnership. And that's why people are saying, let's do not just this year revenue sharing. Let's do 2 years of revenue sharing. And then we'll see what it looks like going into the next CBA. But of course, the players aren't going to go for that.
One word answer. Do you agree with me that these two sides are a billion miles apart right now?
1 mile less than a billion. Like maybe there's been one step up because at least the offers are there and there's something to play off of. The players mentioned deferrals, so that's out there now in the public sphere. Like, you know, it's still far, far apart, but I don't know. I think all of our optimism, if there's any left, is simply because the alternative is a disaster. Like every agent I talk to can't see the deal. And this is what these guys do for a living. They make deals. They can't see it. And that scares me. But they also say the alternative is a disaster. We'll see.
Thanks, Jesse.
You got it, Buster.
Here's Tim Kirchens, Daily Baseball Fix, about Pedro Martinez.
Hi, this is Tim Kirchens. And on this date in 1995, Pedro Martinez threw 9 perfect innings. He retired the first 27 Padres he faced and then joined Harvey Haddix in 1959 as the only pitchers ever to take a perfect game into extra innings. Martinez gave up a hit in the bottom of the 10th and was taken out, and it still isn't the most dominant pitching performance of his career. The one-hitter with 17 strikeouts against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium is still the most dominant pitched game I have ever seen. And I believe that Martinez's 1999-2000 season are the best two seasons back-to-back in Major League history. He had a 1.90 those 2 years. The league ERA those 2 years was 4.90. And of course, there was the 1999 All-Star Game at Fenway Park. Pedro pitched 2 innings and struck out 5 and completely overpowered the National League hitters. After his 2 innings, he went into the clubhouse and Ted Williams was in there and Ted essentially told him, "I've never seen pitching quite like that." And Pedro said later that interaction with Ted Williams was the highlight of his career.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Wednesday. First up, we got Andrew Campbell at Real Camp Drew. He writes in, during all this current back and forth, are we glossing over the fact that whether the number of games is 50 or 80, baseball games in 2020 are going to have twice the importance to the teams in the playoff race and double the excitement to us fans? That is a promising light at the end of this very dark tunnel. What do you think, Buster?
Yeah, Andrew, look, there's no question about it. I think once the players get on the field and the ball's in their hands, you're going to see the competitiveness come out. And there are teams. I've actually talked to managers, Taylor, who've told me about this, that they understand right now that there is a lot of negativity. Like, there's a lot of frustration on the player side. And they feel like once they get players into their camp, the challenge that they're going to have is, hey, let's turn this around. We're here. We reached this agreement. Let's try to make the best of this. And let's try to work off of that. And I think the managers, coaches are already anticipating that's something that they're going to have to foster as they go along to get the players everyone, the staffers, absolutely focused on the competition. And I think that once you get into games, that part of it will be fun, no doubt about it. There is going to be damage to the industry one way or the other. But in the games, that's what I think people are excited to see.
Yeah, and you talk a lot about this is, you know, they've obviously, it seems like they missed the opportunity, but this is the time to make some changes to the game and make it more exciting. I think this is going to be an unintended change where they're like, oh, hey, that was pretty cool. People really seem to like that. Maybe we should kick that around, a shortened regular season. So we'll see. Eric Sorensen writes in at Coach Sorensen 9. Buster, if you could take three Major League Baseball people, either players, coaches, announcers, on a road trip, who would you take? I have an idea as to one of those people, Buster. Your guy, Mike Messina. I feel like you two were simpatico. Who else would be on that road trip?
That definitely could be the case. I got to say, Taylor, Eric, this question was so much fun. And we're looking for fun right now with everything that's going on. I actually broke out multiple lists here, okay?
Ooh.
If I were to take three announcers with me, I would take the Giants broadcast trio, Mike Kruko, Dwayne Kuiper, John Miller, who have been, you know, the friends and colleagues for a long time, and with all due respect to our colleague Dave Fleming. Those guys have been together for a long time, and I'd love to hear their stories if you're going to limit me to three. Coaches, and we actually got to talk to all three of these guys, but you heard their sense of humor, you heard their stories. Ron Washington, Wayne Kirby, Phil Nevin. Taylor, is that after you heard them, would you agree with me?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, I feel like you would be in heaven. You couldn't be the driver. You'd probably just be like in a near comatose state in the back seat or something.
Three managers, okay? Aaron Boone, who has a great sense of humor, and I got to work with an ESPN, and I know he's got all these stories. Alex Cora, I would love to have, you know, a great baseball guy. We worked with an ESPN, and Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager. And I love, because I know all their sense of humors, I love the little jabs back and forth between all of them about the Astros sign-stealing stuff in 2017. Because I think they would have that conversation respectfully and playfully. And among players, how about Joey Votto of the Reds, who's so smart and so insightful, Pete Alonso, and Francisco Lindor of the Indians. And when Francisco Lindor was growing up, his older sister Legna would always tell him, stop talking. See if you can stop talking for 2 minutes. See if you can stop talking for 3 minutes. And they laugh when they tell this story. But to have him, and Joey Votto is more reticent than Lindor, but Pete Alonso, that would be a tremendous trio. So, Eric, I really appreciate your question because we're looking for some lighthearted stuff in these very dark days for baseball.
Good stuff, everyone. Send in those hypotheticals. That was a lot of fun. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter.
That's it for today. My thanks to Jesse, to Clinton, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.